blackjack.co.uk.
I'm on blackjack, keep your hands off of my stack.
Wave after wave of good music. This is Channel Radio.
Need inspiration? Join in the conversation with hashtag Daily Bread from Mike Waterton.
There are millions of small businesses in the UK, but in 2013, only 13,000 of them claimed back the cash that they were entitled to from the government. £46,000 on average, they say. If you've spent time and resources carrying out new product development or working on innovative solutions, you could reduce your tax bill or secure a cash injection of up to 25% of what you've spent. Stuart did.
My company, Travel Welfare, have been developing new cost-effective software for issuing vouchers to delayed flight passengers. Rift Research and Development helped me claim tens of thousands of pounds back against the staff time and material costs I invested. It was such a simple process and they completed everything for me, so I had nothing to worry about. I would strongly recommend Rift and I'll be using them again.
To find out if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk today. That's innovationreward.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the business. If you want to read an email or two, yeah, I'll see if I can get him back.
Excellent.
Cool. Thank you for that, Shelley.
Alrighty.
Hopefully we've got Arthur on the phone now. Hello, Arthur.
Hello.
Oh, thank you. That's good. I don't know what happened there. I think we lost the phone line or something.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It may have been mine.
Yeah. No, well, whatever. You're with us now, and that's the main thing. It wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the Business Bunker without a little bit of technical shenanigans now and again. Thank you so much for joining us, Arthur. You're from the Wise Words Festival. Why don't you tell our listener a little bit about the festival itself, and then we'll go on and explore some of the other things that you're involved in at the moment.
Wonderful. Okay, the festival is... It was set up 5 years ago, and it's been running continuously every year, and there's been various events going on around the festival itself, which tends to be in September time, and there's also other events and programs going on, activities that are run outside of it. But the major event itself is the festival. It's primarily a poetry festival, but there's lots of other things going on, and we try and get as many different arts involved in it, because it's about stories, and the everyday stories of different people and individuals and how they should be told. It's not just kind of the stories of people, it's the stories of that have been told before in books, and it's how we can explore those in different mediums through poetry, through dance, through song, through theatre, and it tries to kind of bring together lots of different parts of the local community and try to enjoy that and try to kind of really bring the entire community together and sort of almost set Canterbury alive, get lots of people on the streets and people kind of intent and doing different things, and it's about bringing a community together through storytelling and through that medium of literature.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, I don't know if you had a chance to listen earlier in the show, we were joined in the studio by our studio guest, Hax, from Hax Filmmaker, who's a video filmmaker, and we had a long discussion about the power of storytelling from its tribal roots right the way through to, you know, modern marketing methods, and how powerful the story is. So it's absolutely fabulous planning on our part in terms of getting you on here talking about this. Give us a little bit of background to the festival. How long has it been running?
It's been running for 5 years now. Originally, when it first started, I wouldn't say mad, but it was a wonderful project that started by Beth Guenco, and she it started off as a very small thing, just one day, and they did a few different things around Canterbury, and it sort of developed over the 5 years to the festival it is today, where it's now sort of placed in Canterbury in the Greyfriars Garden. But last year they had these wonderful street performers going up and down the high street, and they had pop-up poetry around the place.
No, absolutely. And here on Channel Radio, we're great supporters of that kind of thing. We have on a Sunday afternoon here on the Channel Radio station. We have an afternoon of such things as well.
Wonderful.
Where we have plays that we commission locally, radio plays, poetry,
wonderful,
comedy and classical music and all kinds of things.
Really good to hear you. Because, I mean, again, that's what it's about. It's about bringing people together. It's that whole community element and trying to be really organic. And it's, as I said, it's about sort of the stories of individual people, because I think we really are kind of maybe linking back to what you talked about earlier. We sort of gloss over, I think, in the modern day, this the story of the individual. It's almost about kind of about big novels and about big things and these epic fairy tales that we see in films. But it's just as wonderful hearing about the individual lives of every single person and kind of in the entire world and all the incredible things that they do. And we really try and bring that together.
Absolutely, everyone's got a story.
Everyone's got a story. Yes.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more, Arthur. That's absolutely true. If we want to come to some of your events, if we want to get involved, how do we find out what's going on and where we can find it all?
I think there's various ways of finding us. We have a website for the Wise Words Festival.
Yep.
Which is www.wisewordsfestival.co.uk.
Yep.
There's also a Facebook page. Just type in Wise Words Festival, you'll find us. Public group. There's a Twitter page. You can find us at Wise Words Fest. It's Fest, F-E-S-T, rather than the whole festival word.
Right.
And we'll be tweeting and Facebooking and kind of putting up all the events that are coming up. But, I mean, there'll also be, hopefully, in brochures around Canterbury, you'll find little bits of us. I believe the Visit Canterbury brochure is going to have a little piece of information about us. So even if you can't find us online, which I'm sure you'll be able to, because we tweet and we Facebook kind of relentlessly to try and make sure that everyone gets the word out, but you should be able to find us around Canterbury in various brochures.
Absolutely.
As well.
We've actually put all the links to you on our website
on
the radio website, and they will stay there. Now, I want to talk to you about something else now, and I don't know if you've got the information on this or not, but obviously somebody on Twitter made me aware on Monday about your Kickstarter program for your yurt.
Yes, the big... We're doing this in conjunction with the Gulbenkian Theatre in Canterbury. And again, I say Canterbury a lot, but we go all around Kent, and we really hope to go further abroad as well. So
sure.
If you're listening kind of in Kent or outside, don't worry, we will get to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But it's in conjunction with the Gulbenkian Theatre and Wide Eye Theatre Company. And every year, the Wise Words Festival gets this wonderful, wonderful yurt in to sort of as a performance space.
Right.
Now,
it's quite a big yurt, though, isn't it?
It is. It seats around 50 people.
Right, okay.
Which is, again, it's quite a lot for a performance space.
Yeah.
I think, again, when we first started, we didn't really, it wasn't really thought to be that it would kind of become the thing it is today. And so it's become more and more economically kind of viable to try and push this getting a yurt for the space for itself. So using it for these three organisations. So we've come together, three organisations, to try and raise... £5,000 in a month, ending at the end of July, to get ourselves a yurt that we can then use as performance spaces that we can take around ourselves, and we can put this up sort of at other festivals. We can put it up in around Kent, and we can have a platform to push the activities, the workshops, the events we do, all these wonderful things, and try and get more people involved, and that's, again, increase that community participation.
Absolutely. I happen to know, because I made my small donation last night
Thank
on Kickstarter,
you
and you're about almost halfway there, if I remember the figures.
As of today, we are now halfway there.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's got to keep pushing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, because with Kickstarter, you get nothing if you don't get there.
Yes, and it's a nice mechanism for the people kind of donating, but for us, we really, really need to get to that 5,000 mark, if not beyond, so that we can get the money, because otherwise it doesn't get anywhere. And even though we've got all these wonderful things kind of lined up and all these things we really want to do, we need to make sure that everyone donates and everyone gets that mark, otherwise everyone loses out. So kind of get everyone you know involved, get your friends, get your family involved, so that we can finish this and we can start doing the wonderful things we plan to do with this year, which, again, as was mentioned, it's going to see 100 people, so it's even bigger than the one that we normally use. It's loads and loads of space that we can really do all these wonderful things and have tons of space for everyone to get involved.
It sounds like a fabulous thing to do. I really do hope you pull this off, and I'm sure you will put it off. And I can't wait to come and visit when you've got it and attend a performance or two there.
Thank you.
We've put links to the Kickstarter thing as well on the Kent Business Radio website.
Yep.
We will continue to tweet that out. Please, listeners out there, do give these guys a follow on the Twitter. And do you know your Twitter handle off the top of your head, Arthur?
I think, yeah, it's at Wise Words Fest. That's WISEWORDFEST. Wise Words Fest.
Fantastic. Give them a follow. You will be able to find a link to their Kickstarter page by following them on the Twitter, because they're tweeting it everywhere at the moment, obviously, as well.
Yep.
So do donate a couple of quid. It's not a big deal. A couple of quid each, and we will soon get this other 2,000 quid knocked out, and we can get them with a performance yurt. I love this. I'm really loving this performance
yurt. You like
yurt
the word yurt.
I do. I just like the word yurt, and I can see exactly why it would be such a great place for storytelling and for performance.
It becomes a really, really wonderful space there. And you both feel kind of really free in this wonderful organic sort of, it's all handcrafted as well. Completely organically made. It's wonderful. It's really looking forward and really hoping it gets off the ground.
Fantastic. Arthur, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's a real pleasure to hear from you and to hear what you're doing culturally to raise the profile of everything in Kent, and you're doing a fabulous job, and we look forward to you raising the money, getting the performance yurt, and doing more and more and more over there in East Kent, and hopefully expanding that further in future years.
Thank you so much.
We wish you much success with the event. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah,
hopefully.
We look forward to seeing you at all our events.
Yeah, we'll be there, don't you worry.
Thank you.
Cheers now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a nice day.
That was Arthur Palmer there of the Wise Words Festival over there in East Kent. Fantastic. Loads of cultural things going on. Great stuff. Yeah.
We had a little technical hitch, which the lovely Trish threatened from People Face to Face. At People Face to Face, you can follow Trish at.
I suddenly realised what happened. I got to hold my hands up. It was me.
It was your
I switched
fault.
Your microphone off while I phoned him, which wasn't a good thing, was
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And I was reading this beautifully.
I know. So and no one could hear you.
I know.
Go again.
Shall I go again? Right, okay. This is to let everybody know that there's a bit of a scam going on.
Yeah.
Letters are going out under the guise of the Register of Companies and Businesses based at 60 Cannon Street, London, which turns out to be a serviced office. And what they're writing to people in and saying is they're suggesting that they should pay for publication of their company on the company's house website. So obviously you don't have to. What it is they're trying to sell advertising for a different URL name. So just to let everybody know that if you get something from the Register of Companies and Businesses, it's a scam. I suggest you roll it all up and file it in File 13, commonly known as the waste paper bin.
Thank you for that, Shirley.
Okay.
And I'm so sorry for...
I think it sounded better second time around.
Yeah. I think you got your practice in by then, and that's why I did it. We've had a tweet from YBC. YBC _... S East. Vanilla Web, good luck today on the Business Bunker Show. We're a support organisation for small businesses, so do give them a follow, YBC S East. And they've also tweeted, "Hi Paul, can you give a shout out to your business community?" I've just done that, and there's another one they had as well. Here there is. They're very prolific at the moment, YBC. "Hi Paul, Herne Bay Football Club are offering sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to sponsor a local football club, Herne Bay Football Club, you can call them. You can call a chap called Andrew on 07747114627. The easiest way to find that out is to follow YBC_S East on the Twitter, and you will find out the details of how to get in touch with Herne Bay Football Club. And also, I happen to know that Herne Bay Football Club also are very involved and run a deaf children's football team as well, which is lovely.
Excellent.
Which was organised by the gorgeous Sally Laker, Sally for Cakes, on the Twitter. Do give all of them a follow. Oh, blimey, we've got 200 more tweets. we'll get round to them eventually. Oh, people are putting photographs of me all over the place as well in various...
Is that you trying to put your sock on?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, well, whilst you're going through those, then, Invicta Chamber, as I've already done their after hours, I've done their breakfast, so we'll fill in the one in the middle. So if you're hungry for lunch, Tuesday the 21st at the Tudor Park, there's a hot buffet lunch, £20 for members, £25 plus VAT for non-members. Thursday the 23rd of July is the annual summer barbecue at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge. And, well, this is well in advance, Wednesday the 2nd of September, I need to give a shout out to my lovely husband and remind him that that's my wedding anniversary. but there's lunch at Oakwood House.
And we all know now as well, Steve.
I know.
Sorry, mate. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, that's the lovely Insure-PMR, so on the Twitter. So.
Cool.
Excellent.
I've had a tweet from Claire Reeves, who is known as Claire on Air Live on the Twitter, and Claire is a voiceover artist, and a very good one she is too, and she was recently a guest on our show a few shows back, And she says, hi, Vanilla Web. Here's a bit of my social media campaign. Do you like it? And she's shown me a photograph. And it's a photograph of a waffle covered in blueberries. And it says, great voiceovers without a waffle. That's clever, isn't it? That's
good.
Really clever. I like that.
Good.
I'm liking that, Claire. That's really good. Yeah. And I've retweeted that as well. Oh, dear.
Oh, who now?
Chris Pollard. Completely agree with Hacks and all of you about stories and social media. Sock it to them, Paul.
You did rather walk into that one, didn't
you? I did a bit, didn't I? I don't know why I do this.
Shall we put the socks away now?
Socks and pink tutus are my downfall.
Yeah,
they really are.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So.
And somebody called Michael Toppy and said, oh, I like waffles. So it's working already, Claire. You've already had a success within a few seconds of mentioning it. Cool.
Right, what's coming up, Paul?
I've got some recorded interviews which we're going to play in a moment. I just want to read this email to you as well. The government have announced that the term apprenticeship is to become a protected description.
Oh.
Yeah. From autumn 2015, that's later this year, apprenticeships will be subject to the same legal protection as a degree course under changes announced by the Department for Business, BIS, yeah. Under the Enterprise Bill, training courses will have to meet specific standards before they can be described as an apprenticeship. And they must provide at least 30 hours on-the-job training per week, paid at or above the national minimum wage. BIS has also pledged to create 3 million apprenticeships by 2020. However, training providers have warned against underestimating the financial pressure that providing apprenticeship places on small and medium-sized firms, particularly due to funding delays. You can find out more about this by going to www.gov.uk/government-news. We will put a link up on the Business Bunker radio site for this. So apprenticeship is to become a protected name so that you can't just call something an apprenticeship willy-nilly.
No.
It now has an official designation with some official stuff around it that you have to provide in order for it to be an apprenticeship.
Excellent news.
Which is good.
That's
news.
Good.
That is really good news. And hey, kids, take an apprenticeship, please. We, on Jobs in Kent, we advertise in Kent roughly 400 or 500 apprenticeships a month, and less than 10% of them are getting filled at the moment.
Yep, one of the companies I'm working with at the moment, Knight Optical, they're applying or have vacancies for apprenticeships for quality assurance and metrology testing.
Yeah. Don't be fazed. One of the problems with apprenticeships for 16 to 18-year-olds is the national minimum wage is ridiculous. It's £2.50 an hour. You know, I wouldn't let my kids work for that. That's ridiculous. It's more than the bus fare.
Mm.
Yeah? It's less than the bus fare, rather. But what's actually happening here in Kent, most employers recognise that, and the average employee, depending on what the apprenticeship is, but the average wage for a 16 to 18-year-old apprentice now in Kent is between 180 and 220 quid a week. That's what they're having to pay to get people.
Yep.
So don't be put off by the national minimum wage. We ain't paying that because no one will work for that, and that's not a surprise.
No, exactly. And also think of the slightly longer game about the skills that you're going to be getting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're going to be getting 30 hours of training every week, that's
absolutely.
More than you got when you were at school.
I happen to know, because I'm a bit of a stat wonk, and as you all know, because you've heard me speak before, that 87.96% of all statistics are made up on the spot anyway. But I happen to know that 86% of apprentices go into full-time employment at the end of their employment, and 70-odd% of them go in with the employer that trained them.
Yeah.
You know, so it does work. It is a route into work with a qualification and paid work. And I know another statistic that some people argue with me with, but in the first 2 years of following an apprentice, on average, apprentices earn £4,000 a year more than graduates.
Yes, they will do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is worthwhile considering as an alternative route to a very expensive degree course if you're, you know, just doing a degree for the want of doing a degree. If you're doing it for a vocational reason, then by all means do it. But
I'm proof it works.
Yeah.
I left school at 16 with 5 O-levels.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
O-levels, not A-levels.
Yeah.
Didn't even get those.
I won't even go to where I started.
No.
Cool. What we're going to do now is last week, it was the B2B event, the Kent B2B event at the Ashford International Hotel, one of Kent's flagship business exhibitions. And while I was there, I joined the lovely folks from Rift Accounting on their stand, and we interviewed a few people. So why don't you have a listen to some of these interviews from Kent B2B? I've just bumped into Simon Hammond. Hello, Simon, how are you?
I'm very well, Paul. Nice to see you again.
And nice to see you too, sir. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing here today.
Well, we've got a stand all day, so I'll be on my feet for 7 hours, so I'm really looking forward to that. But having said that, though, we're based in Ashford, so it's good to see some friendly faces and some clients as well popping in throughout the day. So not only are we trying to, obviously, tell people about our services, but we're looking just to have a chat with people we know as well.
Absolutely. So tell us a bit about the Hammond Consultancy. You're a commercial insurance specialist, I understand.
We are, for our sins, yes. We started 13 and a half years ago when I was 30, so I think you can work out how old I am now, but never mind. Yeah, we specialise in commercial insurance, so that's whether small businesses, so new business startups, contractors, manufacturers, property insurance, it doesn't really matter what it is. As long as they have a need for business insurance, then we're the people to go to.
Fantastic. So, sorry about the background noise here, the man on the PA. You've been going 13 years, you say, you're based in Ashford, and you specialise in commercial insurance. Do you also deal with individual insurance for business owners?
We do, funnily enough. That's a good question, actually. For our existing clients, we do help them with their home insurance particularly. A lot of our clients have done reasonably well over the years. They live in a nice property, and we treat that type of insurance as though it was actually a business insurance policy, and they get the same level of attention that we do with all our business clients.
Cool. Fantastic. So if people want to get hold of you, how can they find you? Have you got a website?
Yeah. Website as always, www.thehammondconsultancy.co.uk.
Simon, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Lovely to see you again.
You too, Paul. See you soon.
This is the Business Bunker Show, reporting from the B2B Kent exhibition at the Ashford International Hotel in July 2015. And I've just bumped into a young man called Carl. Hello, Carl, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you, very well.
Good. You enjoying the show so far? It's only just opened, so it's early.
It is early, yeah, but I'm hoping that we're going to get lots of visitors today, so yeah, it should be good.
Brilliant. Tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, we're here, sort of Rift Accounting has invited us along because we're one of their clients. We launched about 6 weeks ago. We're the UK's first super agency, and we're offering a sort of business development, online and offline marketing, IT and phone solutions.
Wow.
I know there's a lot of stuff in there, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're here to help startups, and, you know, because we can supply a lot of solutions that will help them on their way to becoming a successful business. And we also get involved with businesses that are established, maybe 20 years, and they want to take their business to the next level because we've got all of those services that we can offer. So,
fantastic. And you're a new business yourself, as you just said.
Absolutely.
Where are you based, Carl?
We're based at the Maystone TV Studios.
Right,
and,
okay.
Yeah, we've got a lot of our teams are there. We've got a data centre there, phone exchanges there, marketing teams are there. So, yeah, you know, but, you know, because of technology, we can go out. We're talking to people in London, you know, we're talking to people locally. So,
yeah.
But it's all about bringing people together, the right teams for the right challenge. So,
absolutely. Tell us the name of your company and give us a shout for your website.
Yeah, it's Capricorn 12 Limited is our company, and the website is cap12, which is cap12.co.uk.
Fantastic, Carl. Enjoy the rest of the day. Good luck with your business. It sounds like I've just bumped into Emily. Hello, Emily. How are you?
I'm good. How about you, Paul?
I'm really well, thank you. Emily, why don't you tell us what you do and who you work for?
I work for RAP Interiors. Most of you probably know Julie, and in summary,
the
I'm
famous
her slave.
Julie Anderson, yeah.
Yeah, I'm her slave, basically.
Right, okay.
Her social media slave.
Right.
Marketing, that sort of thing.
So you're doing the social media accounts and marketing for RAP Office Interiors?
Yes, yeah. That is correct.
Ah, cool. So is it you that I talk to on Twitter? Is
yeah,
it you that
it's me who's the Twitter account.
Fabulous. And how long have you been with RAP?
2 years now.
Wow, okay.
And it's completely changed from when we first started, but I think that's how social media's changed.
Absolutely.
Over the 2 years. It's a full-on
Would that have been funny, as primarily a company involved in the construction industry,
yes,
which is what you are, it's unusual to have an advanced appreciation of the value of something like social media. There's not an awful lot of construction companies that have adopted it very well.
No, but it's definitely something we need to take on board, because the main thing about construction moment is getting young people involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And where are most young people these days? They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter.
Yeah.
We need to show them, oh, it's not just about working on a hard hat. You need accountants, you need marketing,
absolutely.
You need the office people.
Yeah.
You need the ones that are going to be showcasing the company.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's important to get everyone involved in it.
Absolutely.
And it's good fun as well. There's so many people on there. It's
absolutely.
It's not about showcasing your business. It's like, this is Kent. This is how great Kent is at construction. That's the idea behind it.
Fantastic. Give us a shout for your Twitter handle so people can follow you.
Okay, it's at RAP Office, but it's RAP
Office. RAP Office, at RAP Office.
Yeah, and we'll leave a tweet back or we'll always favourite you. Or send you cake.
And send cake, well, that's an offer you can't refuse.
There's a picture cake. I tried to buy ice lollies the other day, but yes. And also don't forget, hashtag B2B1000.
Fantastic.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, Emily. This is the Business Bunker reporting from the B2B Kent exhibition at the Ashford International Hotel. And I've just bumped into Stephen Gurney. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Stephen. I tell you what, tell the listeners a little bit about what you do and a bit about your business.
Okay. My name's Stephen Gurney. The company's been going for 21 years.
Wow.
We've got two lifestyle magazines, lifestyle business called the Index Magazine. One covers sort of 15-mile radius of Tunbridge Wells,
right.
Where we print and deliver 40,000 copies to high-value homes. That's been going 21 years.
Yep.
We also have the Canterbury Index, which covers basically a 15-mile radius of Canterbury. That's also delivered to high-value homes. That's 20,000 print run.
Right.
We also have a series of wedding magazines.
Right, okay.
And we also do Where to Find Cream Teas in the Southeast.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's our thing. We have a website called www.indexmagazine.co.uk, which is where you can sort of find out a bit more about us.
Fantastic. And just in case there is anyone out there that doesn't know, and I can't imagine there's many, it is a very high class glossy magazine that you produce. It isn't one of these kind of freebie sheets that you get. It's a really nice magazine.
Thank you.
And as you say, you've been going a long time, and to be going that long in the magazine business is some testament
Thank
to the
you.
Quality of the content of the magazine.
Yeah, we have good reader loyalty because we've been delivering to homes for so long. We have a good reader loyalty base, and that normally generates good response for our clients.
Yeah.
So most of our clients have been with us over 10 years, and people are generally very happy to use us as a marketing tool for their business.
Cool. So that's the two Index magazines. I'm looking here at Planning Your Wedding magazine, which is quite special as well.
Planning Your Wedding, we print 12,000.
Right.
Again, it's an A4, very glossy magazine.
Yeah.
We deliver it via news agents, wedding businesses, wedding shows throughout Kent, Surrey, Sussex.
Right.
And we use that to promote our website, which is also called Planning Your Wedding. The idea of the magazine is really to get out there and find the brides, and then the website is sort of a reference place where they can find those bubble suppliers and things.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. Keep on keeping on. I'm sure you will. You've got some brilliant products and you're making a real
impact. If you're going abroad by plane, boat, or the family car. If you're going abroad for pleasure or business, there's one essential thing to do before you go. Check the expiry date on your European Health Insurance card. You can renew it up to 6 months before it expires. Visit nhs.uk/healthcareabroad or call 0845 606 2030. Bon voyage!
Jobs in Kent.com.
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
Friday night, 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
Right now, there are small business owners like you claiming back on average £46,000 from the government. You see, the government wants to reimburse companies for innovation. What does this mean for you? Well, put simply, if your staff have spent time and resources developing your business, you could claim back cash. We're RIFT. We're specialists in preparing claims for small businesses. To find out from RIFT if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 14th of July, with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Shirley Mansfield. We've had loads of tweets, which I'm going to read in a minute. A friend of mine has just texted, I need to read you this because it just made me snort. It says, hold on, hearing your voice coming out of my car radio is weird. Yeah. Makes you sound like you actually know what you're doing.
Well,
yeah. But I really like your co-presenter. She's good.
Ah, right.
So there you go.
That's lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Yeah. So you can listen to us in the car, as Amanda's just said. A lot of people don't really know how to do that, but TuneIn app is what you need, and then you can listen to us through your car stereo, should you want to do such a crazy thing. But you can.
So do you just search for Channel Radio then on the TuneIn?
Yeah. Right? There's a free app or a paid app. The only difference is with the paid app, you can record shows and keep them.
Right.
But the paid app's only 70p.
Mm-hmm.
But the free app is just as good. And if you search Channel Radio, we are there, and we have a couple of thousand followers actually on TuneIn.
Excellent.
And you can listen wherever, whenever.
Perfect.
Yeah, on your phone or tablet, and there's a TuneIn app itself is for all platforms from iPhone onwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had loads of tweets. I'm going to fly through a few of them. Laura Burton Lawrence, the lovely Laura Burton Lawrence, said, enjoying the show. Radio is a must for all. Great stories on the radio. Thank you. See, people are loving this, aren't they? The Bank of Business. Haven't heard all of your show, had to go out, but we'll listen to the rest of it later. Thank you for that. And Daniel Knowlton, first time listening to the Business Bunker Show with Vanilla Web. Great show, great guests, well worth a listen. Thank you for that, Daniel. And thank you for joining us. Rob Marley has tweeted and also made a reference to Claire's waffle.
See, social media works.
Yeah, absolutely. And the lovely Deborah Turner of View Image Consult, Channel Radio, Business Bunker, sounding great as always. What fabulous guests. And also, just listen to the Wise Worst Festival. They're sounding good too. Good job, good luck. And she says, hashtag I back small business. So thank you for that, Deborah.
Well done.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. So keep them coming in. I'll blow a little more coming here. I'll read them in a minute. I can't be bothered anymore. They're coming in all over the place at the moment. Everybody wants to talk to us this afternoon. Must have been mentioning stories. Cool. I've had an update on the HMRC attempt to kill small businesses. There's a bit of a giveaway there. Yeah. HMRC update on VAT MOS, for those of you that are involved in digital downloads, which was a European Union ruling which really basically was absolute insane stupidity. I can't put it any plainer than that. Anyway, we've had an update on it from HMRC. HMRC has announced that micro firms registered with the VAT Mini on one-stop shop, that's VAT MOS, can continue to establish a consumer's location using information supplied by their payment service provider, such as PayPal, after the 30th of June. There was a cut-off period where they said they were going to throw us all in jail because we hadn't done it by the 30th of June. Yeah, and they gave us at least 5 minutes notice.
Of course.
Under HMRC Originals guidance, UK firms selling digital services to consumers in other EU member states were expected to obtain between one and three pieces of evidence to show how they identified a consumer's location. For those of you that don't know, even if you're not registered for VAT in the UK, to sell anywhere in the European Union, you have to register in each and every country for their VAT system and pay VAT in each and every country that anyone chooses to download one of your products. And HMRC helpfully required three pieces of information to prove that you were doing that. But they've now announced, in its latest agent update, that the deadline has been extended indefinitely.
But do they still want the three pieces?
Well, reading between the lines, that doesn't sound likely, no. Does it? Because no. They've extended the deadline indefinitely. I wouldn't like to advise you not to.
No, you do need to be careful.
So you need to be careful, because these people aren't known for their common sense or logic.
No.
Yeah.
No,
otherwise, we wouldn't have the rule in the first place. But at the moment, they have officially announced that the deadline has been extended indefinitely. You do still have to do it. They're just not going to throw you in jail if you haven't done it by a certain date, it seems. But you can read more about it by going to the VAT Moss website, which is www.gov.uk/government/publications/agent-update-issue-48.
Wow.
There you go. So do check that out, or basically just sell to China. It's much easier.
That time we sent it the other way.
I met some people the other day, and I saw some statistics that says increasingly exports from small and medium-sized businesses in the UK have grown exponentially in the last few months, and 95% of them are not within the European Union.
No, exactly.
For reasons like that.
Going to China. Did you see Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen last night on BBC Two?
I didn't. No.
Cracking China.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting documentary about how he suddenly has gone from designing household interiors to lingerie.
Yeah.
And went out to sell it in China. It's worth a watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's some interesting things. For those of you that were following our Forging the Future event that we ran a few weeks ago, and there's a blog about it on the Kent Business Radio website, a couple of the trends that we identified as coming along the pike have come along really quickly, which was small and medium-sized businesses exporting to other parts of the world other than the EU, which has really hit the news. And the other thing is reshoring. A lot of small businesses are bringing back their overseas manufacturing back to the UK because it's cheaper, easier, better to do it here than it is to do it overseas. So we're now making it here and selling it there.
Absolutely.
Which is exactly what we wanted to be doing.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a statistic at you now.
Oh, go on.
Did you know that the UK is the sixth largest manufacturer in the world?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know, it's fantastic. And we don't celebrate that enough.
People don't recognise it. I've got a rant coming on here, Matt.
No, I'm going to stop you there.
Yeah, go on.
What people need to do, go and have a look for the Manufacturers Advisory Service.
Absolutely.
Which is a really great resource. If you're manufacturing in Kent, then you need to get in touch with these guys because they're just brilliant.
Yeah.
Just flipping back to your export comment, UKTI has some good resources as well for small businesses who want to export.
Absolutely. Kate Pinkerton from UKTI came on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
We've got another one of her colleagues coming on in another couple of weeks to talk about different aspects of the export market. But one of the problems with manufacturing, we have a big manufacturing base in Kent as well.
We do.
One of the problems with manufacturing is the general public don't see the change in what's happened in manufacturing. When they think about manufacturing, they think of the Ford Motor Company at Dagenham back in the day that employed 30,000 people nailing wing mirrors on car doors. That kind of manufacturing doesn't happen anymore. It's not a mass employer in the way that it used to be because so much more of it now is technological. And in fact, a large part of manufacturing is actually classified under services because it's software and stuff like that. We have a massively thriving manufacturing, and as Shirley quite rightly said, we're the sixth largest manufacturer in the world. Mm. And basically, we lead the world in things like medical device manufacturing, mobile phones. Yeah, 95% of all mobile phone components, including Apple products, are manufactured under license using UK integrated circuit chips.
Mm.
So there.
Exactly. Manufacturing is where it's at. Certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, have you got any more general emails to read?
No, I'm now on to FSB.
I've got a couple more tweets, I think, to read. And then we're going to do an FSB news roundup, I think. Blimey, it's Jules. Jules is awake. That's the problem. Jules is awake. She's all over the place. Whitstable Stove Shop have tweeted, and it says, "Hi, Vanilla Web. Hi, Business Bunker. I'm not going to tweet you today."
There's a bit of reverse psychology there.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what then, Mark. If you're not going to tweet me today, I'm not going to mention you on the air.
Sounds
so that's Whitstable Stove Shop over there in Whitstable. Wood-burning stoves, pizza ovens, and everything you can cook a flame on. So there you go. Right, what we're going to do now, we are going to do this at the moment. Hold on a second. We are going to have a news update, as I am to that.
Have you lost a bit of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why that didn't play. Don't know.
Shall I start with the first FSB
news
item?
Yeah, do that.
Okay. So, as a business, if you're looking to raise finance, either for to extend your business, buy a new premises, hire a new member of staff, for example, or you just simply need some help with finding out about other types of funding for your business, then actually the FSB has their new website, which is called Find, SME, so Sierra Mother Echo, finance.co.uk. They've got loads and loads of information on there, and they will help you find a local broker who's approved and vetted. They'll also have experience and up-to-date knowledge of finance and all things money.
Cool. Thank you for that.
Has that dug you out of a hole?
Channel Radio News Update.
Thank you. I got it to work eventually. tonight, there's an FSB event at the Chapel Downs Wines. That's in Tenterton. The Tenterton Vineyard, Chapel Down Wine, is networking and vineyard tour. Excuse me. It's from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. tonight. You're invited to a summer evening tour of the award-winning vineyards, where you'll be able to make new contacts and taste locally made wines, and that's not to be missed. You can find out about it by going to the FSB Kent and Medway events page on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website, where if you go into the blog tab, you'll find FSB Kent events and you can find out all about it. But that's tonight from 6 p.m. at Chapel Down Wine in Tenterton, so do get along to that if you can.
Okay, and last time I was on, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were heading towards the Kiba Awards.
Yep.
But the FSB is just announcing now that they are now going to be the headline sponsors for this year's KITA Awards. Now, yep. That's the Kent Independent Traders Awards.
Absolutely.
And we highly recommend that you enter. So the awards recognise and celebrate the innovative, the entrepreneurial, the creative, the unique, the hardworking, and all that is independent of businesses in Kent. We want to hear about your business.
Fantastic.
So that's great news. So Kent Independent Traders Awards, I'm guessing that, have we got a link on the website to that one?
There
Paul?
Is, yeah, yeah, there
excellent.
Is. Yeah. Just so that people know, on the Kent Business Radio website, under the blog tab, we have loads of blogs. There's 20 odd pages of blogs going back a few years, and they're all still relevant, they're all still worth a read. There's all kinds of interesting facts there. None of them were written by me, so they're all good, and they're all written in English.
Some were written by me.
Shirley wrote some of them.
I did.
I think I wrote one once, but you don't have to read that one. There's loads on there, but there's also a page that's regularly updated, which is Federation of Small Business Events, and we regularly keep that updated with all the events that are going on in conjunction with the Federation of Small Business. We also have a separate page that is just called FSB, and on there you can hear the podcasts from the various people from the FSB who've been on talking about different things over the last couple of months, one of which is the KITA Awards with Hilary Steele, who's the person that organises that event.
Yeah.
There are also other events there about broadband and alternative finance and all kinds of informational resources where you can hear the podcast again, and then you can link back to the blog pages where they give you the details and the links for all the things. So we've got a blog page, for instance, that has a load of resources where you can go to find websites with alternative finance.
Yeah.
We've got another one that will help you with your broadband. And while we're talking about that, I want to bring this to your attention, because this is a piece of breaking news from the FSB. The Federation of Small Businesses and Kent County Council yesterday had an update on broadband in the county. KCC have secured broadband connection vouchers for SMEs in Kent. This is really positive and shows how seriously KCC are taking the situation. Usually broadband connection vouchers are only available to cities.
Wow.
But they've negotiated with the government so that SMEs in Kent can benefit. The grants are from £100 to £3,000.
Right.
Yeah, and so you can get a grant to install high-speed internet provision in Kent for a business. And if you want more information, if you go to the KCC website, which is www.kent.gov.uk/business-loans, and in there it tells you about the broadband voucher scheme, where you can clobber up to £3,000 from the government via KCC for business broadband.
Sounds like there's an application process for that then.
I'm sure there will be, yeah, and I don't know what the criteria is. I haven't had a look because that is breaking news and we want to do that in a minute.
Hot off the press.
Absolutely. The FSB is also writing to all Kent MPs and council leaders, highlighting the fact that still residential properties are favoured over business premises for super fast broadband, which is true to some extent. The letter and support report written by Roger Williams, the digital ambassador to the EU and the FSB, will be available at fsb.org.uk/Kent and Medway, so do check that out as well, because it's still skewed and we're just making a complete hash of installation of new technology. It's just not
working.
We also
mustn't forget there's lots of home workers.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And my domestic broadband is less than a megabyte.
Mine is appalling.
And I have fibre to the cabinet, and the cabinet's at the end of my drive, and I still can't have high speed because it's up on a telegraph pole, and BT don't want to know about climbing up a pole. Simple as that. So, next piece of FSB news.
Okay, the FSB has put a call out for some case studies. Case studies are needed from businesses who have been able to grow through online or mobile communication services. So they're looking for stories that might deal with any barriers that companies have had to overcome when taking up these services. The contact that you need to speak to at the FSB, if you can be a case study, is a guy called Will Black. And I'm guessing that that's accessible through the FSB website.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you want any info from the FSB website, there are links on the Kent Business Radio website directly to their website. If you can't find it, if you go into the blog pages on our show, we normally highlight where they all are, so you can find it one way or the other. APS Freight, who are a company in Dover, made the ITV news last week. They featured about Operation Stack and got quite a bit of publicity. And the Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway region, is regularly asked for opinion and case studies on things such as Operation Stack. If you're willing to talk local or national media about your business and any business issues, can you please make Alison Palmer aware? Yeah, because we do need spokespeople, otherwise you get the same old talking heads, me, doing the same thing all the time on telly and radio, talking about the same thing. So we more people running businesses that are prepared to go on TV or radio and just talk a little bit about how things are impacting their business in all kinds of things, not just Operation Stack. That's just the flavour of the moment.
Yep.
All the media inquiries either come through the FSB London Press Office or directly to the Regional Development Manager, who is Alison Palmer. So do get in contact with Alison at the Regional Office. All the contact details are on the Kent Business Radio website. And make yourself known if you are prepared to be, you know, you don't have to do it. Alison will ring you and say, look, we've got an opportunity to do the radio or TV about this. Do you want to do it? If it's not convenient or you know, it's not your field, just say no. But as long as we know about you, then we can call you. So do please follow up with that.
Good. Okay. I've got one from Swale Borough Council, which has come out through the FSB. They are compiling a list of suppliers who would like to supply to Swale Borough Council for contracts under £5,000. The list, when it's compiled, is going to be circulated to Swale Borough Council managers who are seeking a quote or a supplier for a lower level procurement opportunity. So the list might also be used to notify suppliers about larger procurement opportunities. Oh, wrong teeth in today.
You got my teeth, Shirley.
I have.
Give my teeth back, please.
It's that procurement word, procurement opportunities at the council, and could also be shared with other external organisations such as parish councils, housing associations and current suppliers. So if you would like your business added to the supply list, then you need to email Alan Mariola, so that's ALANMAROLIA at swale.gov.uk, and again there'll be a link on the website for that one.
Cool.
When you email, you need to put in the subject line supplier list entry, then it'll obviously get dealt with altogether.
Fantastic. There's been an FSB response to the emergency budget. The Chancellor, George Osborne, delivered the emergency budget last Wednesday, the 8th of July. The FSB outlined its position in a press comment that was released 30 minutes after the speech ended. You can go and find out about it, but the headline was, budget is potentially challenging and it's a mixed bag for business. And you can watch a short webinar and video on the FSB's reaction to the budget, hosted by Graham Fisher, who's the Head of Policy and External Affairs at the FSB. The parliamentary update, the House of Commons will debate the budget on Monday and Tuesday the 13th and 14th of July, that's yesterday and today. Defence oral questions will take place in House of Commons on Monday, that's yesterday. And Cities and Development Bill debate will take place in the House of Lords this Wednesday the 15th of July, and Prime Minister's questions will take place in the House of Commons tomorrow on the 15th of July to discuss all of that. They've commented in a number of places on things like access to growth potential in the north, unlocking productivity is the key to small business growth, interest rate stability is welcomed by small firms but not by savers. Small firms concerned by the tube strike action last week, and budget is potentially challenging as it's a mixed bag for business, And the Energy Review finally recognises businesses' concerns about the cost of energy. Mm. So there's some of the headlines that they've been talking to the government about. And they also want small businesses to say have a say over the potential changes to Sunday trading.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one for small businesses.
It is. It is. It's interesting. I have a dilemma either way with that. For those of you that don't know, part of Mr. Osborne's budget proposal was that he was going to allow local authorities to determine shop opening times. Currently, Sunday opening is restricted for large companies based on square footage at 4 p.m. in the afternoon on a Sunday, so you can open between 10 and 4 p.m.
or 11 till 5,
yeah, based on square footage. If you're a small independent, you can open longer hours than that. What they're going to allow is for local authorities to determine the opening hours of any business. So, you know, there's some potential positives and negatives.
Yeah, there's also going to be some inconsistencies as well, isn't there?
So. Yeah. They'd also the Federation of Small Business would also like to hear businesses' thoughts on the impending changes to the taxation of company dividends,
right?
Which has quite a large impact, actually. As an investor, it has a massive impact. It can make investing the difference between investing and not investing quite difficult. So they could actually put a brake on investment if they're not careful with something like that.
Yes, well, it's interesting, actually, because there's been a Treasury productivity report that's come out, which is called Fixing the Foundations, Creating a More Prosperous Nation. Sounds like a heady title. There's quite a lot of information, but because time's ticking along, I'm just going to try and paraphrase it.
Skim read it.
Fortunately, there's 7 bullet points, so here we go.
Right.
The report was commissioned, and the FSB has found 7 key drivers for improving small business productivity. So the first one is incentivising business investment. So that's around simplifying the business tax, so improving access to finance, investing in new products and processes. The second one is universal access to high quality broadband, which we've been talking about. Investment in regional growth. Now, this is all about infrastructure and making sure that that's suitable to support local businesses. The fourth one is about supporting innovative business, which is helping to knowledge transfer, things like that. The fifth one is addressing skills and training shortfalls, which, if I remember rightly, Paul, you and I talked about a lot when I was on last time about the skills gaps and particularly getting kids in and understanding that they need to understand about work.
Absolutely.
As well as have their academic qualifications.
Absolutely.
Right, number 6 was to have ambitious public procurement policies. That's great if you deal with the public sector, but of course there's a lot of private sector businesses out there that don't. So it'd be interesting to see how that fits in. And finally, as we have mentioned earlier, which is about getting more businesses exporting, and UKTI are great at that.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Shirley. We're just about almost at the end of the show. You've got another email there?
I've just got one very quick
one.
Go
for it.
The FSB produces a local news magazine in each of its 33 regions. They are now opening that up for you to buy advertising space. So they're obviously going to be raising some money. It ranges from £250 plus VAT for a quarter page. And again, information on the website.
Fantastic. I just want to make a shout out for Jam on the Marsh, which is a local event which is running until the 19th of July. And it's music, art, photography, poetry, theatre on Romney Marsh. It was running to the 19th of July. It's an annual event by JAM, which is a charitable trust. You can find out all about the different events that are going on. Book your tickets, come along, view things, attend things by going to their website, which is jamconcert.org. So do go and have a check out of that, please.
Can I just check, was that Jam, J-M? J-A-M?
No, J-A-M, as in strawberry.
Strawberry jam.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Or traffic jam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Or music jam, or door jam. No, not door jam.
No, not door jam. No, yeah. Jam and Jerusalem.
Jim Jam.
Jim Jam.
As in Jim Jam. Yeah. No, jam. Jamconcert.org.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for that. Hey, listen, we're at the end of the show. I want to say a massive, massive thank you to today's show sponsors. We Do Social Media. Thank you so much for sponsoring today's show. Do check them out. We Do socialmedia.co.uk. There are links on the Kent Business Radio to their website. Do have a look at what that crew of fabulous people do to help you manage your social media presence and your marketing. A massive thanks to the Federation of Small Businesses for their ongoing support and for all the things they do for the micro and small business community. Big thank you to our show guest, Hacks the Filmmaker. We're still getting tweets about you coming in and about your lions with their grumbly tummies and stuff. That's still happening.
Theme today is storytelling, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It was brilliantly planned and executed show, I thought, even if I say so myself. A big thank you to Arthur Palmer of Wise Words Festival for coming on and telling us all about that and for telling us about their yurt fundraising activities. Mm. A massive thank you to Rift Accounting and the folks from Rift and their Kent B2B stand at which we interviewed, if I remember them all, Simon Hammond from Hammond Insurance Consultancy, Carl Neal from 12 Capricorn, or Capricorn 12, Capricorn 12, we also interviewed Emily from RIP Office, the social media slave, and we also had Steve Gurney from Index Magazine. So thank you to all those people for taking part in the show. For those that couldn't listen again or missed something, the show will be up to listen again and to podcast later on. Coming up on Channel Radio in the next few hours, at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Woody Stripy Socks, Mr. Craig Avery, doing his stuff tonight, normally with lots of people from the media and entertainment business, and he will be interviewing some more guests on that. Then at 7 o'clock, we have the absolutely fabulous 18 hand-picked new music tracks, picked lovingly for your delectation by Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potato Show. That's followed immediately at 9 o'clock by Club Culture with Boy George. Do tune in to the fabulous Boy George Club Culture Show at 9. And then at 11 o'clock, just to round your night off, the big noise, Phil Thorne with his heavy metal show at 11 o'clock. Do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk. You've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Shirley Mansfield on the Kent Business Radio.co.uk Business Bunker Show. And we will be back with you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Wave after wave of good music. This is Channel Radio.
Walk away. That's what you do. And it looks like